You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, a CFP, and an AEP, which is an accredited estate planner, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen each and every week online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org, especially helpful for our listening audience who are outside of the local area. You can tell your friends and family to go online, and they can listen online. Tonight, wonder if you should refinance or even if you would qualify. What if you're looking to buy a home? We're going to talk about mortgage markets, what's going on, what do you need to know about refinancing and getting mortgages. I want to say good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is June 5th, 2013. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 14,960, the NASDAQ at 3,401, and the S&P at 1,608. Last week, we talked about planning for unusual events. Unusual things like foreign income or selling investment property, having an unusual situation like an inheritance or lottery, all kinds of different unusual events that folks need to do planning for. Then there's some normal, typical events like a change in marital status or children. So if you have any questions about last week's show, you're welcome to give us a call, as well as jumping in on our conversation tonight. Tonight we will discuss what's going on in the real estate market from both the buyer's and seller's perspective. We'll also talk about financing your real estate purchases or refinancing your existing mortgages and what you should expect. I do have a guest this evening, but before we get started with her, I just want to also throw out some things you need to think about when you're considering becoming a home buyer. And this ties in with the series that I had done several weeks ago. And if you weren't able to listen to those shows, you can tap into those podcasts on the website, wdiy.org. I believe you need to go to Program Host, find Lori Siebert, and you'll see the Your Financial Choices segments. And then there's the various podcasts there, and there's titles next to them. So you can listen back on shows talking about assets, organizing your financial life, looking at assets and liabilities, looking at income sources and expenses, looking at cash flow. And then I had a show that was like two or three shows. And then we talked about putting that all together and why is it so important to have your life financially organized. And it flows in with the general, I guess, motive of the show, which is financial education and being proactive in your decisions. So when we talk about a major home purchase or even refinancing, we're talking typically about big numbers, big expenditures, usually fixed costs when you're talking about a monthly expense. So it's very important to do a few things for yourself before you venture down this path. And that is a few things that you can do. One, you should check your credit, because your credit will have a significant impact on the interest rates that you're going to be eligible for. And we're going to talk about that with our guest once we get started here. We also suggest that you evaluate your assets and liabilities. This is something I had said several weeks ago. It's also general advice that you would find even on websites such as bankrate.com, where you go to kind of see what going interest rates are in your area. So they give some tips as well, and it flows right into what we were talking about. So check your credit, evaluate your assets and liabilities, organize your records, and, you know, just make sure that you are going to be able to manage that kind of payment that you might end up having should you qualify. What are you going to be able to afford? Make sure you're looking for a home within your range. You know, one little piece of advice I sometimes will give young couples in particular, if they're both wage earners, I'll say, you know, look at a home that either only you could still afford with just one salary, or maybe one salary plus a part-time salary. It gives you a little flexibility, and it doesn't make you do too far-reaching as far as that monthly payment. You need to build in a little cushion there. Sometimes, especially for young couples, they end up not, you know, maybe they start off as, without children, and then they have children, and maybe one of the spouses will drop down to part-time. You want to be able to still afford your home. So keep those things in mind when you are looking to be a homeowner, because your credit score is going to affect your interest rate, your assets and liabilities, what kind of resources do you have to make those kinds of payments? The banks are going to want to know that. They're going to want to see copies of your tax returns, your W-2s, I think even bank statements. So you want to get all those organized, those records organized, so that you're not having to scramble when it comes time to either go buy that home or to even refinance. Different things you can do to help your credit score is get that personal debt down as much as you can. And there are free credit reports that you can get through things like Experian, and find out how you're doing with your credit, because there may be things on your credit report that could be an error that you want to go get cleaned up. So you want to make sure you know what's on that credit report in the event that there's any mistakes, that you're able to get that credit report cleaned up. Might help your credit score. If you help your credit score, it's going to help you get better interest rates. Okay, so first part of being a home buyer is getting yourself ready and following those terms that I had described, you know, over the past few weeks. So tonight, this is exciting. We are welcoming back a returning guest. We have Jane Hathaway in the studio with us this evening. Hi, Jane. Welcome
to
the show.
Good evening. Thank you. Glad to be back.
Thank you. I need to mention that we are live tonight, and we are here to take your questions. Judy Ann's in the studio, and she'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. Jane, before we go to our break in a minute and a half, let's take time to introduce you to our listening audience if they haven't heard you before. Usually when you come on, we have tons of calls and questions. So even though it's a beautiful night, I hope that people call and have plenty of questions for you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been originating mortgages in the Lehigh Valley for about 11 years. I was a prior real estate agent for about 12 years, so I have good knowledge of the industry. I've been with Premier Mortgage for about 5 years. We're a mortgage banker. We are not a broker. We originate, we fund, and we close all of our own loans. We have competitive rates and low fees and outstanding service.
That's and I can vouch for the outstanding service. Folks, we hope that you continue to join us. We're going to go to a quick break, but when we come back, you can call. You don't have to wait for us to start our conversation, but we are going to be talking about things that are going on in the mortgage market, refinancing, new home buyers, what kind of interest rates are out there, and maybe define a few things for you, like, you know, what is a 15-year term, 30-year, and ARM, and variable, fixed rate, that type of thing. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and we're also available through email on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can email your question in as well. So we will be back to talk with Jane more after the break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. Any condition is accepted. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Okay, welcome back to the show. I have in the studio with me Jane Hathaway. She's a mortgage executive at Premier Mortgage. We thank her for being here. We're going to hopefully provide some information and education about applying for mortgages, refinancing, a little bit about what's going on in the real estate market. Jane, you had mentioned that Premier Mortgage explain that to me again, because I think it's important that people understand the difference between a mortgage broker and what?
Mortgage banker. Yep.
Okay.
So a mortgage banker is somebody who can actually guarantee your rate. We can underwrite, we fund, and we close your loan, just as any normal bank would be. We just don't service. So we're just an originator. But we control the entire process. We're in control of the fees and the rates that we quote you. A mortgage broker is someone who literally brokers things out. So he has to send things directly to a Wells Fargo or a Bank of America or a U.S. bank in order to lock your rate, underwrite your loan, and close your loan. So he's more of an intermediary person than he is your actual bank. Okay. We're just not a servicer.
Okay, that sounds good. I think that helps a little bit about explaining that for the audience. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810 or email through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. So Jane, I know you're not a realtor. I think in a past life you may have been, but being in the mortgage business, you feel, you know, the pulse of the real estate market. Any observations you want to share with us as far as real estate moving or new building going on? I think there's always these questions about, you know, are people buying inventory that exists or are they building? People are always surprised saying they're still building when there's all these houses for sale. So I just wondered what the feel of that is right now. Can you tell?
I can. It's actually changing this year. I think the real estate market in the Valley is turning around, and I base that on the types of loans I'm doing and the feedback that I'm getting from my clients who are trying to find new homes. So, we're seeing multiple offers on homes. People are losing homes. So I always tell them, if you love a home, put your best foot forward. You may not get a second chance. We're seeing a lot of new developments, new construction going on, which we hadn't seen in the past. A lot of those builders had sadly dropped out. A lot less inventory. People are finding it hard to find a house. There's not a lot to look at. So that's a sign of a healthy market. And I've also done probably more $500,000 house loans in the first quarter than I typically do in a year. So those houses really weren't turning over, because people couldn't sell their homes. So they weren't buying those move-up homes. So it's really a vibrant market right now.
So that's what you call it when we're looking at homes in the $500,000 range. You're calling those move-up homes, because prior the homes in the, let's say, the $300,000 range were not moving as much, and now you're seeing movement on those.
That's my guess.
Okay.
I mean, I will do, you know, a handful of those in a year, and I've done a handful in the last 8 weeks, so it's okay. Unusual for me at any rate.
Okay. And then one other point you had said, if folks typically have in their mind, oh, you know, the market's so bad, people are going to be lucky if they can sell their house, that mindset should start to change, because what you're saying is people are going in and making offers on homes and they may be lowballing it, when in fact that they might lose their opportunity to have that home, because that's not necessarily what you're sensing right now.
Right.
So if you feel you can afford a fair price and you're willing to pay that, make that your bid instead of lowballing.
Right. If you really love a home and you know you're up against a multiple offer, you may not get a second chance.
Okay.
And I've had a lot of clients lose houses they like because they want to negotiate.
Okay.
And we're sort of getting out of that negotiating. Certainly there's always room to negotiate, but a lot less time to do it, I think, right now.
Okay. You don't do commercial work, is that correct?
I don't.
Okay. Does Premier Mortgage do commercial work?
We don't have a commercial division.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I had just wondered.
That's a whole different animal.
Okay. Well, let's talk about financing then, because I think you do know about financing. So you had mentioned that you're doing quite a bit of loans for home purchases. What about refinancing?
Spring was a really good refinance market. So I would say that I was probably doing a little more purchase, thankfully, than I was refinance. I think over the last year, a lot of people have been refinancing. So the people who are refinancing predominantly have been FHA buyers who bought and are able to take advantage of some of the grandfathered mortgage insurance premiums if they bought pre-May of 2009. People who bought prior to that are refinancing because they are typically in the 6% zone. Where we're finding some of the sad stories are the people who bought in 2008 and 2009. We've seen about a 20% decline in values when the bubble burst. So those people are likely underwater or upside down. There are some options to refinance for those people if the situation is correct. FHA can do a streamline refinance without an appraisal. There's some limitations, and sometimes it doesn't make sense depending on when they took their original mortgage. And the HARP program, if their loan is currently being serviced by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, there are some options for them, but they have to contact their current servicer to do that kind of loan. So
Is that the same with an FHA loan? If someone has an FHA loan,
no.
Can they work through?
No, they can work through anybody for that. They can work through anybody for that. But if it's a conventional loan that's currently being serviced by Fannie or Freddie, they have to go back to that servicer and see if they qualify for the HARP loan. So there's some options.
Now, when you say are you saying HARP, H-A-R-P?
H-A-R-P, yep.
And so maybe at some point we could talk on the show a little bit about that. So we can get some overview now, or do you want to talk about the HARP loan now?
I don't know a whole lot about it because we're not a servicer, so I don't do them.
Okay.
I can tell you that it was rolled out by the Obama administration in March of 2009. And what it does, it allows new loan to values up to 125% of the value. So in round numbers, if somebody has a house that's worth $100,000 and they owe $125,000, they would likely be a candidate. So it allows for a little flexibility if you're underwater. I don't know the ins and outs of the cost. I would assume that they're pretty much the same, but they do have to contact their current servicer.
So that's allowing a possibility for refinancing at hopefully a lower rate that someone otherwise may not have qualified for because they're underwater. I want to talk, and I think it's going to be too much to cover before our next break, but one of the questions I would like to ask then is, when can someone really actually kind of qualify for refinancing? When we look at that, you know, how much equity does someone have to have in their home? Because basically what I'm hearing, obviously, if someone's underwater, they're not going to qualify to refinance. It's a shame because those are probably the people who really need it the most.
It is.
So what I'd like to talk about is where and when can someone realistically refinance? I know that you had said, you know, I think over the past year to maybe 2 or 3 years, quite a few people were refinancing and getting much better rates. I know that I had refinanced and got a better rate, but then you sit and second guess and say, wow, should I even be looking at refinancing again, even if I refinanced 2 years ago? Because if folks refinanced and maybe got, a 4.25 or 4% or even a 3.75, at what point do they need to think about maybe they need to refinance again? So I think we're coming up on our next break, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I have with me in the studio this evening Jane Hathaway, a mortgage executive at Premier Mortgage, and we are talking about mortgages, refinancing, and what's going on in that market. We will be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 76 degrees under fair skies. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 52. Thursday, chance of showers, highs around 77. And Friday, heavy rain is expected with high temperatures around 75 degrees. The time now is 6:20 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Welcome back, and the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. If you have questions this evening, give us a call. You can talk live on air, or you can give your question to Judy Ann, and she'll bring it into the studio. That's for the listeners who are a little bit shyer, or you just want to remain private. That's fine. We work with you either way. So, Jane Hathaway, talk to us a little bit about this refinancing phenomenon, because, I really feel like I saw tons of them probably even more 2 years ago than a year ago. And some of the rates that people were getting were, 4%, 4.25. And I think that was about 2 years ago. You could correct me if I'm wrong. At what point does it make sense for someone to think about refinancing again today? First of all, I don't know if we should back up or not. It depends on how you want to jump into this question. At some point, I want to talk about the kind of rates we're seeing out there, how rates can be affected by the term, and how rates can be affected by our credit score. So what do you think? Should we talk about that first?
Sure.
I should have done a better outline of this, because I normally like to start big and broad and then get into the details.
Right.
So let's do that first. So what kind of rates are we seeing right now for refinancing or new homes?
Either one. I mean, rates are still really good. But last Tuesday after the holiday was a real game changer with the federal government making an announcement that they're going to start tapering off buying these mortgage-backed securities and the bonds. We saw an increase of about 0.5% in rates. So on a 30-year conventional purchase with good credit, 760, 740 or better, we were at about 3.5. And we're at a good 4.125 today.
Oh.
So it was significant.
Okay.
Refinances, you'll probably see about an 1/8 or 0.25% higher than a purchase. It's just a more expensive loan. Loan to value in a refinance is very important, and in a purchase, how much down money you have, if you're going to have mortgage insurance or not. It used to be with 20% down, you got the lowest rate. Now the insured loans are actually getting a slightly better rate than the uninsured loans because the investors have protection in the event of foreclosure. So there's a lot of variables that go into it, but it really is FICO score and loan to value and loan type.
Let's talk about that for a second, the details of that. So when we talk about loan to value, we're talking about I might have to take out an $80,000 loan for my $100,000 value. That's loan to value. If I have 20% down, then I may not have to have mortgage insurance.
Correct.
But what you're saying, and I might have one rate that I would qualify for on that loan. If I had, let's say 15% down. So now I'm putting $15,000 down, and now my loan to value is 85 to 100. I don't meet the 20% down. I'm going to have mortgage insurance, and I may get a better rate.
Correct. Correct.
Because I have insurance.
Well, because the loan is insured.
Okay.
Mortgage insurance protects the lender in the event that you default.
Okay.
And it stays in place until you reach 80%. Automatically falls off typically at 78% of your purchase price. So the lender tends to give a better rate now because the loan is insured. But oftentimes, if you look at the difference in the rate and the cost of the mortgage insurance, I would never suggest to somebody that you put less down to get the better rate, because if you put 15% down, that mortgage insurance is going to fall off in about 5 years, and then you'll have that lower rate you know, for the remaining 25 years of the loan.
Is there any penalty, though, to doing it that way? Having the cash set aside after you've locked in your rate, make a huge principal payment on it, and then bring yourself back in to the 20% down and stop the mortgage insurance?
No, there's no penalty. You do have to carry it for a specific amount of time.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
And I want to say it's 12 months, but it really could be 24 months. If you've ever had any late payments, the lender's not under any obligation to remove it. And it's always based on sales price when you're going back to the investor. So if you've remodeled the home, you would have to get a new appraisal with that same investor if you wanted him to remove the mortgage insurance. So there's no guarantees that the investor is going to do that. It's there for their protection. So they're very interested in having you keep it on your mortgage.
Okay. So that's interesting. So that's just a couple little details behind that. So we talked about the rates just recently going up after the last holiday, folks. So where we had been at about 3.5%, Jane is saying for someone who has a 30-year mortgage with good credit being like 7.47, 7.60 or better, the rates actually went up like almost 0.5%. So we're looking at maybe 4.125 on a 30-year loan. So if you are someone who stood on the sidelines waiting to do, you know, a purchase a home or even a refi, because we see the rates go up on the refis as well, correct? And the refis tend to be slightly higher than the new home purchases regardless. You might need to kind of step forward. I imagine that folks who really are paying attention to their financial lives and their financial decision making have probably already revisited this. So this is really for those people who have not done any kind of analysis of where they are with their mortgage. You might be someone who has good credit, but you just don't pay attention to your, you know, financial details. So you pay your bills every month, but you just don't want to have to go through the hassle of refinancing for whatever reason. You really need to maybe stop and at least ask what your current interest rate is. I think that that would be a big help. We had a question come in from Steve in Bethlehem. He said he refinanced 3 years ago. The bank told him he qualifies to refi again. And this is something we were going to try to talk about, like for someone who had refied just 2 or 3 years ago, does it make sense for them to refi again? He said, though, that the value of his home dropped, so they're asking him for PMI. That's the private mortgage insurance. He owes less than the house is worth, so that's good. So is there any reason why he would not qualify normally? How do you determine the home's real value? Can you take a stab at that?
I can. Well, I mean, I think he is qualifying normally. It's just the loan program and the equity in the home is requiring mortgage insurance. They will do an appraisal, and that's going to determine the value of your home. And appraisals can change from winter to spring to summer to fall. Your home is really only worth what the comparable sales in the last 6 to 8 months have sold for. So for people coming off in the spring, they were working off winter comparables where sales were slower. They may have a better outcome if they refinance more toward summer or the end of summer, because there's a lot more to choose from in regards to comparable sales for the appraisal. I had a client who purchased a farm, I'm going to say it's 3 or 4 years ago, and they paid in the high 300s. A year later, they sold their home, their previous home, and they had a large sum of money. So we refinanced them, and the home had dropped over $120,000 in the refinance. For them, they had enough equity that they could still refinance. And these are people who, again, came to me last year because rates dropped again and refinanced again, and the house jumped up another $60,000. So in this particular case, it was a stone farmhouse, but it went from high to low to almost back up to high again, all in the scope of probably 2.5 years. So, you know, unless you're trying to sell, don't be too concerned about the comparable sales and their value, because it can change.
Interesting. And you said you've been seeing a lot of activity in this past quarter as well. So that's your point about maybe waiting a little bit and having those comparable sales values jumping up. from the winter.
Right. But with that will probably come higher interest rates this summer.
Right.
So, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword. And honestly, for myself, I've bought 5 houses and I've never hit the bottom of the market when I've locked my rates. So, you know, you have to find a rate that you can live with and a savings that you're happy with. And you have to lock it and be happy.
Okay, that's a good piece of advice. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we had a follow-up question to an earlier one. So the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Except the terms are not.
And we are back. I have with me in the studio this evening Jane Hathaway. She's a mortgage executive at Premier Mortgage. And we are talking about interest rates, refinancing, new home buying, and some of the little details that go around that and things that affect rates. And we had a follow-up question from Steve earlier, and he said he was told that if he thinks the home is worth more, there may be something he can do. Now, in his original question, he had said that he qualified to refi because he owes less than the house is worth, but they were telling him that he would still need PMI, the private mortgage insurance, because he must not have had 20% equity. So if the house is worth more, he said there is something he can do. Is that true? And what does that mean? So I think, first of all, the lesson here, Steve, is that this bank may not have communicated to you well enough if they're not explaining to you what it is that they're talking about. And I think it's really important. And Jane, I imagine you're very clear on what you tell your clients they're getting into. So can you kind of guess from what he's talking here about?
Yeah, I mean, I try to be clear. So Steve, if you decide that you want to move forward with the refinance and the initial paperwork that you sign has mortgage insurance on it, once the appraiser goes out, if the appraisal comes in higher, they'll renegotiate your paperwork. You'll possibly get a different rate. Without the presence of mortgage insurance, but the mortgage insurance goes away. Just as if you would have applied for the mortgage assuming you had 20% equity and the appraisal came in low, the bank would come back to you and say, well, we can still do your refinance, but now you have to have mortgage insurance. So until you get that appraisal done, you really don't know. You know, we can only submit paperwork based on our best guess of what we think things are worth and what you owe. And then if they change, they just renegotiate with you and you either accept the terms or you, you know, decide to keep what you have and be happy.
The phone number, folks, this evening, 610-758-8810. And you can send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com as well. Steve, I thank you for calling. I appreciate these questions. And it made me have another one, Jane, which is so many times I think people have it in their head that they have an appraisal done. And let's say they want to refi like a year or two later. And they say, why do I have to have another appraisal? Now, you had just mentioned one of the reasons you have appraisals done is the values can change every 6 months or whatever. But is there ever a case where a bank wouldn't have to do another appraisal?
The FHA Streamline refinance is done without an appraisal.
Okay.
And that is specifically for people who have FHA loans. They will only refinance your principal balance and your current interest due at closing for that month. So you have to have your closing cost, or you can negotiate with the lender to have lender paid closing costs. So in that particular instance, you don't need an appraisal. I do believe the HARP loans will appraise your home, but they fully expect that you will be underwater going in. So other than that, you do have to have an appraisal. They need to know what the value of the collateral is.
Okay. We have a caller on line one. Jeff, if you can pull him up. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Joe?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you for calling. How can we help you?
So I have a question regarding a refinance on a second home property. It's a condo property. It resides in a resort community.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I applied to do a refinance. And everything was in order. There weren't any glitches, apparently, according to the loan officer that I was dealing with. But the decision came back that the refinance could not go through because the condo was in a building where many of the condo owners rented out their properties. And it was being classified as a, quote, condotel, and they would not make or allow the refinance. My question is this something that either you are familiar with? Is there any recourse that you have? Is there any way around this? And if this is the case, what are people doing? Because this is a resort community where this is a very common phenomenon, and what are you supposed to do if you want to refinance? Now, I would add that the lender is the same lender I had my original mortgage through 5 years ago and provided it then, but would not provide the refinance now. Do you guys have any comment or any suggestion?
Joe, I do. I'm very familiar. I don't think they're classifying it as a condotel. Condotels are very difficult to finance. But what has happened with all the foreclosures in the past 2-3 years is investors have limited the approval rate on condominiums when there's a high concentration of rental properties. And I believe that it is 12%. So when more than 12%, and it could be 10, I don't do too many condos, but when the percentage of units exceeds that number, it's not eligible for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac financing, and that's where the rule is coming from. Perhaps 5 years ago, the investor concentration was smaller. And the reason that they changed that requirement is that in bad times, investment properties are usually the first thing to go into foreclosure. People will do anything to keep their home, but if they have to, you know, walk away from a rental property, it's a little less painful. I had one recently that I couldn't do locally in Easton, and I found out who the original local bank was that did the financing, and they were willing to refinance. So you may want to check in the area if there's a local portfolio bank, meaning that they will not sell the loan to the secondary market. They may be willing to do the financing on it, or you could ask who did the original financing on it. In the case that I had, the original bank in town was willing to do the purchase loan for this. So
now, Joe, you went to your original lender.
Actually, what happened was the original mortgage was through a lender. It was sold to, again, it's a national mortgage company. I won't say it on the air, but very well-known mortgage, bank. And that's who's held it for the last 5 years, and that's who I went back to do the refinance, and they're the ones who then said, no, we will not allow the refinance.
Right, right.
I did call a community bank in the local region where the property is, who they took some time and they looked into it, and they said, no, we agree, and, you know, we can't do this for you either, which is when I was a bit taken aback, again, my question being, well, then, where do people finance these properties? My particular property, I also made very clear, I do not rent. It
right,
is not a rental property.
Yeah.
It's strictly a second home.
Yeah.
So it sounds like I need to ask or find a portfolio. Bankman? Is that who
right.
I'm looking for?
Somebody who makes decisions by board. They don't sell their loans to the Wells Fargo's, Bank of America's, you know, like we do. That's called secondary market. So they can make a decision based on the property, based on your financial profile, based on your credit scores, and they can just decide you're a good risk. And those banks will do it by board approval. So I would ask around. I would also ask around. I don't know how old the development is. But if it's not too old, I would find out who did the original financing for the developer. In the case of the condominium in Easton, that bank had financed the original units when they were being built. So they were happy to do the financing on that particular unit for this client of mine.
Okay. Okay. Does that help?
It does.
Great questions. Thank you. I appreciate that. I had never heard of Condotel, so now I know.
Good luck, Joe.
Much.
Take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye. Folks, if you have questions this evening, you can give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Jane's doing a great job. I love that you have all this knowledge off the top of your head, Jane. It's really great. When we talked about interest rates, we were saying how you saw a jump after the holiday. So we were saying if people have not refinanced, you know, in the past few years, it might be time for them to look at that. Do you think, and that makes more sense to me, because I would say if someone like had a loan from 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, we're talking probably 6%, 7%, and they would still benefit even though rates have jumped. But maybe someone who had refinanced 2 or 3 years ago, if they haven't already done it, it might almost be a break even for them, because weren't we seeing rates at about 4.125 maybe 2 years ago?
Yes.
So that would be something they'd have to investigate. So they have to understand that. And we talked about rates being a little different on a refi versus on a new home purchase. What about rates on homes mortgages or refis that are 15 year versus 20 year versus 30 year? What kind of change in rates can we expect on that? And how does someone evaluate whether that would make sense for them?
Well, the way I look at it, when somebody contacts me, I first of all look how long they're in their current mortgage. Once you start getting into that 7 or 8 year term, you're starting to see a shift in more principal, less interest. So the moment you take out a new mortgage, you're going back to mostly interest, very little principal. So for people who might be in a 30-year mortgage and they might be 7 or 8 years into it, they might want to look at a 15-year mortgage. I would guess it used to be I was seeing about 0.75% less. When rates were at 3.5%, I was locking under 3% on the 15-year. So oftentimes when I took people from a 30 that they maybe had 22 or 21 years down to a 15 at the lower interest rate, they were either at the same or saving money. But wow, now they've reduced by 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So you really have to look at how far you're into your current mortgage. If you have a percent, it's almost a wash, really.
Okay.
You know, you have to really look at what your savings are. How long is it going to take you to recoup? What's the plan for the house? Do you think you'll be there for 5 years? Sometimes it's just better to stay put. So I try to do a good evaluation, and if it makes sense, we do it. And if it doesn't,
you don't.
Just stay put. You don't want to waste money.
Okay, so that's great. So that's some good kind of general guidelines for people. If they're maybe 22 years or 8 to 9 years into a mortgage, if you haven't reevaluated interest rates recently, it might be worthwhile. Now would still be a good time, Jane?
It is.
Just because we saw rates jump a little after the holiday, we still have good rates?
We still have good rates. Last year, we were at 4%. And then with the recovery of the economy, they took the rates even lower, and they did their job. So 4% had been the lowest we had ever seen, and it's still a great rate. You know, we hesitate personally to think about tying our money up in a CD at 4% if we could get it for 5 years. You know, we're talking a 30-year investment. They can't keep giving the money away. They have to start making money. So, yeah. it's still a great rate.
Okay. Folks, we still have 15 minutes left in the show. And if you have questions, plenty of time to still call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call in live and talk directly with us, as Joe did, which was great. Or call in and give your question to Judy Ann, and she'll take that down and bring it into the studio. And we'll be back in just a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and music diversity. The time now is 6:45. Now back to our program.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. And if our listeners don't have questions, my brain can't stop asking questions and unfortunately have to pay attention to what's happening during the show. So I have to kind of stay focused a little bit, but we just were at a break and I had another question. I'm throwing these questions at Jane. If you do have questions, please give us a call. Phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Again, I have in the studio with me this evening, learning more about mortgages and refinancing and all of that, interest rates. I have Jane Hathaway. She's a mortgage executive with Premier Mortgage. And Jane, what I was asking at the break was, what's going on with foreclosures, short sales? And then we decided together it might be a good idea to kind of explain what those are. Are they still something that are hot, that for people who are looking to get into a new home, when we see some of the normal inventory, you know, maybe not available, is that something that might be attractive to people that they should consider? Is it messy? Do you do them? Let's talk a little bit about that. So if you want to give us some overview.
So a short sale is a sale where the owner still owns the property, sometimes still living in the property, and he's asking the bank to accept less than what he's owed. But a short sale is anything but short. It can take a long time. I have a short sale closing on Friday. They've been waiting since October. I had one last month closed that was waiting since last September. So you have to have a lot of patience. When you buy a short sale, you really can't lock your interest rate in. So you're subject to the market because we don't know when we're closing. And they just take a long time, but there are some good buys out there. What I have found in some of the short sale situations is that if owners have had an offer and then people walk away because they're tired of waiting, and then they have another offer and they walk away and they're tired of waiting. Sometimes the last person coming in, the bank finally says, you know what, let's just be done with it. So it is a lengthy process. If you need to move in a hurry, a short sale is not a good idea.
Why is it a lengthy process, though? What's the holdup there? Is it that the bank doesn't want to accept the lower price?
I think they just still own a lot of homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know the exact process, but, you know, I envision, and I've sort of been told this, I've envisioned a floor full of people in cubicles, and everybody has one specific task to do in the short sale. And when they get it done, it goes to the next person and the next person. And so it's just, you know, when I hear from realtors, they're hard to get in touch with the lenders. They're hard to get in touch with the right people. I just think there's a lot of red tape in getting it approved.
Okay. So if you are someone that has some time on your side, that might be something to explore because you might get a better price than what the market might warrant.
Yes.
Because of the nature of this short sale, someone still being in the house, the bank, knowing that there's going to be red tape, that would probably be an automatic discount on that house. Okay, so when we're looking at financing for a short sale, does it look any different than a new home purchase for your buyer?
No.
No, so it looks the same. So
being able to secure a market rate.
Okay.
I have another client who's going to make mortgage application this week, and he has been into two short sale opportunities. He finally has approval on the second home. The last one, he waited a year. He finally walked away. But interest rates are now 0.5% higher than they were on his last short sale. And he's a little upset.
Mm-hmm. They might not get the house with that offer. Is that correct, too? So a year passes and they still...
Yeah, I mean, he'll qualify, but that is a concern. So if you start...
But, I mean, the bank could... the buyer could qualify, but the bank might say, no, we want to wait for a better price.
No, he's got approval.
No. Okay,
he's got approval, but he's been waiting since December, and he finally got approval. So, now he's ready, and 8 days ago, interest rates jumped, and, he's upset. But, we're hoping for somewhere, they'll settle somewhere in the middle before we lock a rate. So, it's a little bit of a gamble. If you don't have the patience or the stomach for it, you should probably buy a house that's ready to close in 45 days. And leading into that, a foreclosure is a property that the bank has already taken over the property. They've gone through removing the people. They've gone through the courts. They now own the property. Those tend to go very quickly.
Oh, okay.
Those tend to go as soon as possible. So if you make an offer on a bank-owned property, the shorter term that you can close on it, the more attractive your offer is. Because now they're paying the utilities, they're paying the taxes, they own the house, they have to maintain it. So foreclosures are good properties. They tend to not be in the best of shape. So what you might run into in a foreclosure is appraisal issues. Because now we're going in there and we're looking at the collateral, but we see that the roof is leaking, kitchen cabinets might be gone.
Antifreeze in the pipes. Does that mean
freezing pipes? All of those are issues. Those things can't be present in a conventional appraisal because they have to be fixed before closing, and the bank's not going to let you in. So when you get into a foreclosure that needs a lot of work, they typically are cash deals. And people who are looking at those houses are first-time home buyers. They want to fix them up, but they don't have any money.
Yep.
So, they're complicated in their own right in regards to the collateral.
For a home buyer who's looking to get into either a short sale or a foreclosure, what does that look like when you're driving through a neighborhood? Is there still a realtor on those kinds of properties, or does the bank hire a realtor to put those for sale signs up? So we're going to see for sale signs, whether it's a short sale or a foreclosure. And you may not know what you're getting into until you contact the realtor.
Correct. And on short sales, a lot of homeowners will hire what's called a short sale negotiator. They're the person that's going to work with the bank. And typically they pass that fee along to the buyer. And it can be anywhere from $2,000 to $3,500. So if you're looking at a short sale, make sure you ask if there's a short sale negotiator fee and if you're responsible to pay it.
Okay, and is that on top of like a broker, a real estate commission as well?
Well, the seller will pay the real estate commission.
Okay.
So it's a fee that you would not normally pay, and it's a big fee.
Okay. All right. We still have about 7 minutes left, Jane. I want to open up the rest of the show. First, we probably could still take one more question if someone had one. The phone number is 610-758-8810. But what I'd like to do right now is invite you to kind of give us some ideas of items that you think are important. What should people be paying attention to as far as, qualifying for a mortgage? Just give us some tips or some hot items that you just dying to share with us with 5 minutes left. Anything you can throw off if I put you in a tough spot here?
No, not at all. So I guess, and we've discussed this, before, if you're planning on getting a mortgage or looking for a house, I heard you on the ride in talk about getting your financial house in order. Make sure you know what's on your credit. That is so important. I just did a mortgage for somebody who hadn't applied for any credit in 8 or 9 years, and he was appalled to find out that he had a big issue. It was a mistake. It was a 14-cent mistake that was going to preclude him from getting a mortgage. Thankfully, we were able to get it fixed, but it took time. And he's looking for a house, and he wants to make an offer, and I can't give him a pre-approval letter because I said if we can't fix it, it's not going to happen. So make sure you check your credit. FreeCreditReport.com is the only site that's sanctioned by the three credit bureaus. You won't get your scores. They're not nearly as important as knowing what your history is.
That's an important note. Can I just reiterate that? First of all, freecreditreport.com is sanctioned by the three credit bureaus, and history is more important than the credit score as far as the individual trying to check up on how that credit is going to end up looking.
Right.
So they want to check their history. This gentleman who had the 14-cent mistake, he would have found that had he run a credit report, that there was the 14-cent mistake.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep. So, no, and I don't want to say that scores aren't important, but if you have good credit history, your scores should be acceptable. If you pull your credit report and you have collections, you have late payments, late mortgage payments are the kiss of death. You cannot have late mortgage payments. Then you'll need to look into it further because your scores are going to follow suit. Scores are derived solely on your credit history. For people who don't have credit, you're not going to have any credit scores because there's nothing by which to base the history on. If you don't have any credit, you need to get some credit. You can develop scores in as little as 3 to 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Ideally, we like to see 3 trade lines. Get yourself a secured bank card. If you can't get credit, go into the bank. You'll deposit $300. They'll give you a credit card with a $300 limit. It's important that you keep your credit balances at less than half your credit limit. If you start maxing out your credit cards, your credit scores are going to go down even if you pay on time.
Interesting.
So they believe that you're living on your credit, and that's not a good history to have. Get a gas card. Use the credit card to pay for things that you normally pay for cash. That's what I tell people. Don't go out and get a credit card and buy clothes and toys. Use it to offset your cash purchases. Make payments. Carry a small balance. Show them the ability to borrow and repay, and you'll have good credit.
You can use credit cards for grocery stores now. I mean, I think 4 or 5 years ago, we couldn't use our credit cards. I think maybe it's been longer than that. I don't do the shopping in case anybody doesn't know. I know at one time you could not use your credit card in the grocery store. You can do that now.
The other thing you have to be aware of is your assets. You cannot have cash to buy a house. So you'd be shocked at the number of people that tell me they have X amount of dollars, and I say, is it in the bank? And they say, no, it's at home. You cannot use cash if you're going to get a mortgage. If you're going to pay cash for the house, you're good to go. But if you need a mortgage, it has to be in the bank. So you have to get your money seasoned. Large deposits are a problem that can't be verified. So getting your income, obviously you have to have good income. You have to have a good solid 2-year history. Unless you've been a college student and you're now employed in your field, you need a 2-year history, you need reasonable credit, and you need some money.
Okay. And this all goes to those shows I was having several weeks ago, which again, you can revisit those podcasts on WDIY.org under program hosts, Lori Siebert, Your Financial Choices. You can find those shows about organizing your financial life and finding out about assets, liabilities, and your cash flow and tracking that. We had another call come in off air from Amy. She's on the sale end of a foreclosure. She asked, how long does it take? I think she mixed the terms here a little bit. Short sale to go through foreclosure. It is, how long does it take a house to go through foreclosure? So do you have any idea how long that takes? We have about a minute left.
Okay. I don't have any specific time, and I've seen people stay in their houses for 2 and 3 years without making a mortgage payment. It really depends on your bank, how busy they are, how high on the radar you are. If you are in your house and you're just behind and you're making payments, it's probably going to take a little bit longer.
Okay. Thank you, Jane, for being here. Jane, what is your contact information?
You can reach me via email at jane@premier-mtg.com or on my cell phone at 610-428-1878.
610-428-1878. 1878. Thank you, Jane, so much for being here. You're just a wealth of information. I love having you on the show. You're great. We always have lots of calls when you come on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, callers. I really appreciate the calls, especially on this gorgeous night. We're thankful that you're listening to WDIY.org. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. Thank you, Judy Ann, for being here as well. Next week, I'm going to discuss rental properties. I figured that would be a nice segue from talking about rates, since I'm going to be so much smarter after this week. In regards to, are you an owner, want to be an owner, and what you need to know about the income tax consequences of that, and how do you make sure you're tracking all your information properly to do everything the right way. So we're going to talk about rental properties next week. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.